Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Halliburton. 5 seconds. 4 seconds. Halliburton for the lead. 1.3 to go. Pacers by one. Porter to inbound it. No. Giannis is going to take it now. Here's Gary Trent Jr. Let's it fly. And the Pacers are moving on. What a comeback in overtime by Indiana.
Yeah, that game last night, insane. The Pacers overcame a 7-point deficit in the final 35 seconds to shock Milwaukee in overtime, 119-118. That was about the only shot that Gary Trent missed over the final 20 or so minutes. The heave from three-quarters court. Joining me right now to talk some NBA playoffs, which is what I'm looking forward to doing, is Chris Miles. Chris, of course, a host at NBA TV. He was here for a while at NBC Sports Washington. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at Chris Miles TV. I'm so into this right now, and I have been from the jump, and you know this town. It's been all draft, and then this week it's been all stadium talk, etc. But these playoffs have been unbelievable, especially the last couple of days. I actually want to start with last night in Indiana. Look, I thought Milwaukee put up an incredible effort. I thought they were going to go out meekly last night in five. But I want to ask you about why you thought they blew the lead at the end, the follow-up with Giannis and Halliburton's father, and then where Giannis goes. Let's start with just the end of the game and the meltdown by the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things happening, and that's exactly why we had a 30-minute show discussing all of those things, right? Yeah. Like, as soon as the buzzer ended, there was so much to talk about, including Giannis's post-game press conference where he really opened up. So let's get to your first question, right? The Milwaukee Bucks, I believe the Pacers scored 8 points in the last 33 seconds is the stat, right? And it's two turnovers, both by Gary Trent Jr., who had 12 points in overtime. Like you said, he had made 7 threes after halftime, after going 0-for-7 from three-point range in the first half. Yeah. Okay, so that's like, that was the big story. Gary Trent Jr., will he be able to do this? Can the Bucks come back from being down 3-1 with Giannis, you know, having a 30-20-10 game, which is only the fourth player in NBA history to do that in the playoffs, right? Like, that's what was happening. And as soon as they turned the ball over, you're like, this is a new storyline. The reason they lost is they didn't have ball handlers. I mean, A.J. Green is throwing a pass to Gary Trent Jr., who's a spot-up shooter. So it's one spot-up shooter throwing it to another spot-up shooter, which are the type of players you want to put around Giannis. But when you don't have Damian Lillard on the floor or Chris Middleton that they traded away to the Wizards, right? Or, you know, if you want to go even back further, Drew Holiday, like, go, that's where those players excelled and helped the Bucks to win and, you know, win a championship. They don't have that anymore. And you saw the collapse. I mean, A.J. Green threw it to the only place where Gary Trent Jr. couldn't catch it, in between his legs at the floor. Right? Like, I mean, if you play basketball, you know there's like one place where you can't save the ball if it's thrown in your direction.
Your legs.
Where you're like what is he? Like you could have anywhere else, and the game's over. So kudos to Tyrese Halliburton, though, not settling for a three. We see that so much in the NBA where guys, you know, get in a situation like, oh, I'm just going to shoot this three. Halliburton, who actually struggled to score in the fourth quarter at OT, made the most timely buckets, and like that's kind of him, where you're like, oh, maybe he's not as good as these other stars in the league. And then the game comes down to the final 30 seconds or the final possessions, and he looks like one of the best players we've ever seen. And that's like what happened with Tyrese Halliburton. So it's
first
just amazing,
all,
isn't
it? I thought it was interesting because, you know, he got a screen and a switch, and it was almost like he wanted Giannis to guard him, and he went right around him. Like, that seemed to me to be not the matchup that he would have wanted in that situation to drive the ball or even to take a jump shot.
Well, here's the thing you learn about, you know, being around some of these players as far as their basketball IQ, it's so much higher than we realize as far as them understanding other players' tendencies. And, you know, you always hear in the NBA, oh, they don't play defense. Tyrese Halliburton, I bet you if we listened in to what he had to say, he probably knew, like, okay, if I get Giannis on me, he's going to go all out if I look like I'm going to shoot the three. Right? Like, he probably had that in his mind. And we all know Tyrese Halliburton has that slow windup. So for Giannis, you can wait till he picks the ball up. Right? Yeah. He's not like a quick-release Steph Curry type. And Halliburton uses basketball IQ to take advantage of an over-aggressive defender. And we see Giannis hurt his hand being over-aggressive on defense. Like, that's kind of, I mean, if you're going to knock someone who is an all-time great, you know, over-aggressive on defense is kind of like a thing you can expect from him if you're someone who has the ball in their hands.
You mentioned Giannis, 30, 20, and 13, along with two blocks and two steals. He had seven turnovers. He also missed a bunch of free throws, which were hurtful. But so for those that weren't watching last night, after Indiana pulls off this miracle comeback to end the series and advance to the second round, Milwaukee's done. After the game, Tyrese Halliburton's father, John, confronted Giannis, apparently cussing him out on the floor. You can kind of get into, you know, what the confrontation was, whether or not he should be there. But, you know, Giannis, per usual, had a very thoughtful response afterwards and said that was uncalled for, you know, loves Tyrese Halliburton as a player, et cetera. So just give everybody who did not watch what, you know, took place when this game ended, kind of a you know, quick, you know, what happened and then your thoughts on it.
Well, so there's a number of things because we did hear Giannis's perspective as opposed to what we see as viewers. First and foremost, the game ends. It's a heave by Gary Trent Jr., right? Giannis inbounded the ball and was behind the play, and you kind of see him soaking it all in, right? Like he's standing there like, man, we really just lost in the first round for third straight year. Well, Tyrese Halliburton's dad is sitting behind the basket from where Giannis inbounded the ball. He jumps up. He had obviously has on a Tyrese Halliburton jersey. He has a big poster, a big towel with his son's face on it. And this is where it goes awry because the ball's in the air and it drops. And Giannis is kind of like, wow, right? And you see Tyrese Halliburton's dad walk directly in front of Giannis, and Giannis stops moving. And he puts the towel up, and according to Giannis, Tyrese Halliburton's dad was cursing at him, right? Like, that's who, F-word, S-word, right? Like, this is what Giannis says happened. So we understand this to be true because Tyrese Halliburton has said that that's what happened, and Tyrese Halliburton's dad said the same thing. Now, talking to several people, which I did have the privilege last night, right? I watched it myself, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, we're security. Like, security is not supposed to let fans on the court immediately, even if it's someone's dad. And it's interesting to hear the different perspectives, right? Because I sat next to Vince Carter. I showed him the video for the first time. And he's like, what is this? What is going on here? Like, no parent or brother is supposed to get on the court and do that, right? Then Giannis laments about his upbringing and how you should be humble in your winning, which I thought is what we need to hear from NBA stars, right? Like, that's what you need to hear. But then from a complete different perspective, I walk back and I think the Clippers Nuggets game was still on, and you know, we were done talking about the Bucks Pacers, and I go to talk to Chuck, Kenny, and Shaq about it, right? Because we were sitting there watching
Shaq,
the game.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard the clip, so Shaq like beckons me over. So I guess that they must have discussed this on the show. I have not seen the clip that you're referencing right now, right? And he's like, Chris, you know, like, he's got to have thicker skin than that. And I'm like, no, you can't have fans on the court. And then Shaq's like, look, man, I heard worse things when I was playing at LSU. Like, these things, you know, my parents taught me that you just kind of, like, have to be the bigger man. And I'm like, Shaq, Giannis didn't move. He looked at Tyrese Haliburton. He's like, well, look what he did after. He grabbed Ben Mathurin's head. And he did. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Giannis probably shouldn't be talking to this man's dad in that way. And he's like, and Shaq is explaining, you've never seen me act like that. And it's interesting to hear his perspective, yeah, right? Of basically saying you can't double down the wrong, and that Giannis is wrong for escalating this situation. And I hadn't thought of it like that. And I'm like, man, like, it's incredible to hear one of the greatest players of all time give his perspective, and to not be on, because in my mind, I'm thinking Shaq's all like, yeah, Giannis, good stuff. And Shaq's like, nope, you can't do that. Like, you're big, you're strong. You have to, you know, go about your business, take it for what it is, and move on with your life and go, you know, discuss it in the press conference. But what he was saying is Giannis was out of pocket for all of the extra stuff. And it kind of changed my perspective. And I thought it was like, phenomenal to have that privilege to hear that. Now, what he said on the show, I don't know if that's what he said, but yeah, it was interesting to hear from him.
Yeah, so hold on, Max, you have the Shaq comment on this? Because I was watching it when he said it. Do you have that?
Yeah, sure do.
How long is it?
A minute 20.
All right, go ahead, play it, and Chris can listen to it.
No, he's not supposed to be on the court.
He's not
supposed to be on the court.
Giannis talked to him. Forget all that.
No, he was on the court.
So what?
You think he said something? He probably know who his dad is.
Stop it. Giannis said something.
Because he's on the court in his face.
So what? Everybody on the court.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
No,
everybody
you cannot do that.
Giannis said something to him.
So you think his dad was
great?
No, his dad was 100% wrong.
Giannis is wrong?
Bro, Giannis said something to him.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he not.
Look, right
no,
there.
No, his Giannis dad is coming up to him. What Giannis is his dad doing on the court?
His dad
is not supposed to be on the court.
His dad is
you
on
can
the
yell
court
as much you want
game.
To. He's an idiot. If you think that's right, you're an idiot too.
Giannis says something.
No,
to him.
No.
That's not true.
No. I'm just telling you.
Home.
That dad is an idiot. And
no,
if you think
not.
He an idiot,
no,
you're
not.
An idiot too.
I will say that his dad is always on the court.
No, I will say this. We all have met his dad, and he has.
His dad's always on the court.
He should be on the court.
You don't have
an entitlement because your son is playing
to
be on the court.
Hold on, time out. He's always on the court.
He should be on the court.
I don't care. He's always on the court.
He should not be on the court talking to other players.
Bro, Giannis said something to him. He didn't say nothing to Giannis. No, he did not.
No, that's not true.
He
couldn't have said anything.
Walking in the line behind his son.
He should. What do you mean walking in line behind his son? He shouldn't be on the court. He didn't play in the game.
Always on the court.
No, he shouldn't be. He shouldn't be
on the court.
No, there's no entitlement for that.
So let me just mention, okay, there was more to that where Shaq kind of expressed what he expressed to you, Chris, because I want to say
gotcha.
That I had the exact same reaction you did. Watching it, I'm like, what is his father doing on the floor? Listening to Giannis, I'm like, wow, what a response, because Giannis is thoughtful, he's self-aware, all of those things. And then when listening to Shaq, I'm like, you know what? The best reaction from Giannis would have been, we lost, congratulations to them, and let everybody else fight that battle. Because those players do deal with a lot more than that. The father shouldn't have been on the floor. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I think I ended up having the same reaction you did after listening to Shaq last night, which is they deal with a lot. And I know Giannis was emotional and he's sharing his thoughts, you know, almost stream of conscious, you know, in that moment. But it's like, let everybody else fight that and ensure that the father never is on the floor again in that situation. By the way, for those that, again, haven't followed this, the father apologized on social media. The son, Tyrese Haliburton, apologized on behalf of his father, etc. But anyway, that was the situation last night. They're not going to kick him out of games moving forward, do you think?
No. And the other thing is, there's a code of conduct in the sense of having an even. It's interesting listening to that clip from the show because they're yelling over each other.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
On the show. And it's crazy because we sit in there together for hours. So I truly get to understand what they're trying to say. And all of them have good points, and none of them really got it across in that clip he played.
Yeah.
So it's like, Chuck is right. Like, hey, this guy's always on the court, right? But Shaq is wrong in the sense of Tyrese Halliburton's dad not saying anything. Like, Tyrese Halliburton's dad cursed at Giannis. Giannis is standing there not reacting, and then he's like, hold on. You guys, this is too much. Like, what are you doing here? And then he says, like, you know, my dad's not with me anymore. He wouldn't do this. I was not brought up this way. So you can see the anger. The other part that needs to be understood is when you play the clip of Giannis talking about the incident is right after he was asked, are you leaving Milwaukee? Right? And the fact that he was noncommittal, the fact that at the trade deadline, had privilege to understand that, like, he's probably gone, and that they asked him that first, and he's sitting there like, is this really happening? Like, think about how incredible he played in this series, in this game, and to think, like, this might be his last game in a Bucks uniform.
Yeah, I know.
A guy is arguably the first or second best player in franchise history.
We're talking to Chris Miles. Would you say the first is Lou Alcindor before he became Kareem?
Yeah, those are the two names, right? It's one of those two,
right.
And really, Giannis has done more with the franchise, but we, I don't know if, it's like Oscar Robertson, it's like Lou Alcindor, Giannis, Oscar Robertson, whatever you want to do with that, but I would say, that's the comment.
Yeah, after that, I don't know, Sidney Moncrief. I don't know. We
can
go down the list.
Yeah,
all right, let's move on because let's move on to that. So I am curious, what are the teams that people are talking about for Giannis?
So here's what I would say, and this is where it gets difficult for me in confidential information and things I can and cannot say, right? And I will say this: I know the Miami Heat have been a suitor. I don't know how much has been reported, but I would imagine that would be his priority destination and mutual interest. And I think they have been aligning themselves to make that happen. That is the first part. The second part is if Giannis is on the open market, like if this is a Luka Doncic deal, which like, oh, here, you're gone, right? Like, okay, Miami's it. That's where he wants to go. That's what it's going to be, right? But I think on the flip side of that, if it's an open market, then we have to have more logical conversations. Like the San Antonio Spurs have the assets, the cap to absorb for Milwaukee and their ownership to like save money and also rebuild. You got two, once the draft lottery hits on May 12th, you got two potential high lottery picks coming in for San Antonio to go along with all of these assets of guys that like they got too many guys and not enough stars, right? It's like Victor Wembanyama, De'Aaron Fox, Stephon Castle would be the three guys that they're not going to move. Then everything else Milwaukee could be interested in. I mean, they've got a lot of pieces. So I do wonder if that becomes a pairing, like Giannis and San Antonio, how incredible that would be for Giannis, for the NBA, and really changing the landscape of things. And then the Houston Rockets. I mean, they have a ton of assets that really don't fit.
Yeah.
And now the narrative with them is they need a bona fide star. And Ime Udoka is the Giannis type of coach. Like, these are things that I think those are the logical destinations when you look at assets and, Giannis and fitting. But I do think he played his last game as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, I kind of assumed that at the trade deadline. I was like, okay, well, if the Bucks make a long run, maybe that's not the case. Going out in the first round three consecutive years, playing the way that he's playing, I think this is the summer he needs.
We're talking to Chris Miles from NBA TV. I'm going to save my wild thought about if the Wizards end up with a poor draft lottery selection and they're not in the Cooper Flag or the Dylan Harper sweepstakes, about just, you know, scratching the plan right now and bringing in Durant and Giannis and just going for it next year. We can talk about that down the road. All right. The NBA has been phenomenal here over the last couple of days. I want to go to late last night and what Denver did to the Clippers, you know, after the incredible ending on Saturday. They're up 3-2. This is the team that I've actually got a rooting interest in. I'm just a huge Kawhi Leonard guy and have been forever. James Harden's been terrible so far in this series. He was terrible again last night, defensively, offensively. Why is it that Harden this time of year, especially when a series gets late in a series, there have been some moments in his career, but his playoff legacy is not a good one, and I don't think he's adding to it right now. What do you think?
I think it's a different style of basketball in the postseason. And as talented as he is, you know, Kawhi Leonard is built for the playoffs. Giannis is built for the playoffs. Joker, Jamal Murray, if you look at their games, they trim that. There's no fat on their games. James Harden's game is like a juicy steak, you know, but if you're trying to lean up, it's just not the right fit for the playoffs, the way that you have to play basketball. And I think we see that a lot with players who can put up regular season numbers. And, I mean, I think James Harden is a first ballot Hall of Famer, phenomenal basketball player. But when you watch him, it's like, all right, how many dribbles is it going to take right now?
How long is
he going to have possession of the ball? Like these, I mean, you know, and that's a regular season game. And I think, look, the last 3 years, the NBA has changed so much that a guy like Donovan Mitchell has adjusted. He used to dribble way more. I'm sure there's an advanced stat on that where even in the regular season this year, that was taken out of the game a bit, and James Harden has dialed it back. But in the playoffs, everyone is dialed in. The teams you're facing, everyone can play defense and are hustling as hard as they can. And that's what it is. I mean, it's not like...
Yeah.
I think this is the caliber player he is when we get to this. Like, he's really, really good. But I think playoff James Harden, when I look at the all-time greats, is how I view him.
Look, I'm going to compare him to a player who was in the finals last year. And this player is younger and is going to be considered one of the all-time great scorers and shot makers. But there were 14 possessions in the game on Sunday in Minnesota where the only player on Los Angeles's team that touched the ball from the moment it was inbounded in the backcourt was Luka Doncic. And sometimes it's the same thing with Harden. The ball just sticks, and this time of year it's tough. Even when they make tough shots or make really good plays, I just don't think it's sustainable 4 out of 7 in 4 straight series.
Well, I mean, people thought I was an insane person because, look, if there's a team in which I have a lot of contacts, it's the Dallas Mavericks. And you can go look it up or, you know, Google search it and see my interviews with Luka.
I trust you.
But it's like one of those things where, I'll tell you this, when they made that run to the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, we went down to Dallas for a real training camp, right? So it's like the preseason, and, you know, we're basically doing a glorified practice is what we do as a show, right? And we highlight the players. And there was this air of, we are tired of him. That was it, right? Of like, and not from players and coaches, from people who work on the staff. And what I mean is, like, when you walk into the practice facility, there's a 60-year-old guy that's like, oh, everybody hates this guy. And they're like, wait, all these people that have worked here for 20, 25 years hate Luka Doncic, who is like the guy bringing all the money in. So when I started to hear that and understand that, and I watched him complain to the refs and turn the ball over, and then being, you know, covering the finals last year, game 3, I'll take you behind the curtain a bit. The game ends, and, you know, I always hear terrible stuff about Kyrie Irving as, like, his personality, right? And I'm trying to explain to people that, you know, they lost game 3. Kyrie had his best game of the series after 2 bad games, and it's like finals is over. You're down 3-0, right? And I see Luka, and I'm like, oh, let me give Luka his space. He's going with his people. And I kind of notice Luka's not talking to his teammates, right? He's just off, get in his car, gone. No problem with that at all. But then I see Kyrie with his kids and his wife, right? He's walking over, and he's with two or three teammates. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, Kyrie's with a group of teammates, and they're talking about what just happened, right? And I see him, and I'm like, I should not disturb him right now. He interrupts his own path. He comes over. Hey, Chris. I'm like, oh, hey, Kyrie. He's like, I'm like, tough one. He's like, yeah, you know, hopefully we can get the next one. And he has this, like, positive, upbeat personality, and he's bringing it to his teammates. And for me, when I think of the Luka Doncic experience, and I watch him yell at Dorian Finney-Smith at half court after he turns the ball over.
Right.
Right? And, yeah. And anyone that's ever played basketball, if you've coached an eighth grader, you say, don't put the ball where the any line or the out-of-bounds can become a defender and then call for a pick. Right. Like, what are you doing, right? And then he yells at Dorian Finney-Smith, who's not the greatest screen setter. He's a 3-and-D guy. So I just think, you know, the Lakers are going to build around Luka. It's going to take a year or two, but you can't have Luka and LeBron when you got a maniac like Anthony Edwards out there who wants to take your crown.
Yeah. Interesting stuff on Luka Doncic with Chris Miles. All right, I've taken up too much of your time, but just let's go real quickly. Houston, Golden State, what an incredible first four games. As physical as any of the series been that have been played, do you give Houston any chance of coming back?
No, I think, you know, I had Houston winning that series, right? But no, they can't come back for this reason alone, experience. You got three guys who are feeling like it's their last dance, and Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Jimmy Butler, right? Like, I know they have contracts that extend past this year, but if you look at how they're playing, this in their mind is their last dance. And when I listened to what Jalen Green had to say after he scored his 38 points in game two, right?
Yeah, the only
it game was this life
for him.
But there's a reason. He goes, yes, I had the jitters. Yes, there was nervousness in that first home game. Then he felt comfortable, a second playoff home game. Then they hit the road, and it's back to, what's going on here? And I think that that's permeating throughout the team. Alperen Şengün, yes, he's playing well, but there's still a sense of, like, okay, feeling it out. Amen Thompson, does it look like how good that he is? I think that this is the, okay, we made the playoffs here. This is what it feels like. So we're going to go back to the lab. We're going to tweak the roster a little bit. And then next year, watch out for us. That's just what I feel on Houston now that we saw them. I mean, you never know how these players are going to react in their first playoff game. But now that we've seen it, it's like, okay, they're done. They're not going to beat Steph Curry unless Steph Curry is hurt early in, you know, the closeout game. But, like, that's what it is. The Warriors are going to move on past the Rockets, even though I did have the Rockets beating Golden State.
You know, it's funny, Chris, watching that series. Like, I've watched all four games, and I'm like, man, Houston is actually in many ways the team that's more dangerous and even better. But it's just that Steph didn't let them lose Game 3 when Butler wasn't there. Jimmy didn't let them lose Game 4 when it hung in the balance. And I just think you're right on the experience. What'll be really interesting is a Golden State-Minnesota series, because I think we're going to get that. I'm assuming you think Minnesota will close out the Lakers at some point, even if it's not tonight.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. Yes. I mean, look, I think people are starting to get it. But Anthony Edwards' conditioning and his work ethic, I mean, people don't really understand. And, you know, I get all the – people hear the off-the-court stuff and be like, oh, it's Ja Morant again. No. Ja Morant drinks alcohol. We've seen him with the tequila shots. Anthony Edwards doesn't drink alcohol. He doesn't do – like, I don't think people understand that when he says he doesn't want to be the face of the league. Like, we had that interview with him at All-Star.
Yeah.
And that had already come out. And we asked, I can send you the clip. I asked him it four times in the interview. He's like, no, I want to play basketball. Like, I don't want to do these other. And that's because, like, he really wants to go to the gym, watch basketball, talk about football, talk about basketball, and all of these other things in his brain, they're a distraction. Oh, you guys want me to be the face of the league so that you can, you know, take me away from basketball. But that's how his brain operates. So I think some of the things that he said has been like, almost taken the wrong way. But if you really listen to what he's saying, you kind of realize, like, this is a 23-year-old kid that really wants to play basketball and is not as caught up in the lifestyle as some of his peers and predecessors as we think because of, you know, the other breaking news.
All right, I got to run. I took you too much of your time, and I'm way past my break. I could sit here and do this with you for another hour, though. But just give me, real quickly, finals matchup, who wins?
Man, I have no idea, right? And I do
mean it's going to be Boston, isn't it?
All season. No, I don't know that for
certain.
You like
Cleveland?
I don't. I'm saying, like, I watched Cleveland, and I'm like, man, they punched Miami in the mouth and took their willpower where Miami's like, why are we here now, right? And when I look at the depth of both rosters, like, here's what the players tell me, and this is what's important. Cleveland's backcourt is still too small, and the series against Boston, that's going to be the determining factor. And I'm like, okay. But Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, if they play that way, then, I mean, Mobley looked – that one game that Cleveland beat Boston last year in the playoffs, Mobley was incredible. And he has that, like, in his mind, like, if I play this way, we win. Like, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be – I'm just excited for that series. They're going to face OKC, though. Like, OKC's coming out.
All right. Let's see if they've got the experience to match up with the Warriors when they get there. I'd like to see that. Although I think the next series will be tough for OKC, too. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, as always. Good stuff.
Yep. Thanks for having me. Yep.
Chris Miles, everybody. Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, theteam980.com. When we come back, I'll tell you something that I forgot to say during the Shedeur Sanders situation that I think is beneficial for him. Next.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Barry's Verluga will join us at 12. The council has to get 7 votes to pass what was discussed Monday very joyously in sort of a celebratory manner. Could it be headed towards what happened with Ted and Governor Youngkin and their, you know, incredible press conference when they announced they were moving to Virginia? I mean, there were tears in that press conference, and turned out that it was just a bit premature. Barry wrote about it in the Post. He'll join us at 12. I wanted to say something about Shedeur Sanders because we had a conversation about him in the first hour, and many of you called in. I actually think that Cleveland is one of those teams that is a good team for him to go to. Kevin Stefanski's good with quarterbacks, and the style of quarterback that he likes to coach is the style of quarterback that Shedeur Sanders is. You know, there is more under center stuff, no doubt. And a lot of college quarterbacks come into the NFL and they're not as comfortable under center. But it's lots of run game, zone run game, boot off that zone run game, play action. That's where I could see Shedeur Sanders having some success. You know, you get a running game going. They drafted Quinshon Judkins. They don't have Nick Chubb anymore. They also drafted the kid from Tennessee, Dylan Sampson. So you've got some backs there. You've got, you know, the receiver situation is a little sketchy. It's like Jerry Jeudy, and I forget who else they have. It's not much. Their defense could be awesome. There's no doubt about that with, you know, bringing Myles Garrett back and some of the other players they have, Owusu-Koramoah, et cetera. But I think Stefanski's the right guy. Like, if it doesn't work with him and that style of offense, that will be a major red flag, because that's the kind of offense he should be in. You know, quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins, like Joe Flacco when he took the Browns to the playoffs 2 years ago. You know, the run game, balanced attack, play action, bootleg off of play off of the run game, that's where Shadur's got a chance to succeed. Yeah, and they do have a good defense. You know, they drafted, you know, the kid from Michigan, Graham. They drafted Schlesinger from UCLA in the second round. They've got, you know, Delpit. They've got Denzel Ward. They've got Myles Garrett, obviously, Owusu-Koramoah. They'll be good defensively. They have the lowest over-under number in the league, by the way, at 4.5. The lowest over-under number in the league. But I think that's the right fit for Shedeur Sanders. I mean, you know, a Kevin O'Connell offense, a Sean McVay. You know, those style, the Shanahan-style coaches where they protect the quarterback with the run game and with the play action and boot game and make it easier for them. Rather than just playing pure drop back. I don't think that's what Shedeur Sanders is. And Shedeur Sanders isn't a dual threat quarterback. You know, he's much more of a pocket quarterback, old school, stylistically. Now, will he be able to do the mental stuff that you have to be able to do, you know, at that position in terms of processing quickly and being able to throw with anticipation? Because that's something that some of the quarterbacks that Stefanski's had that he's been successful with, that's what they had. They threw with great anticipation. They saw it pre-snap. They knew what was going on post-snap. Some of that is just experience. But I actually think the fit for Shedeur Sanders is a good one. Not to mention, there's no obvious starting quarterback. Deshaun Watson's career is probably over. Like, you know, he's not going to be healthy enough to play in this upcoming season, certainly not at the beginning of it. No one thinks Kenny Pickett is a true starting quarterback in the league. Dylan Gabriel's 5'9". You know, right now the favorite's probably old Joe Flacco, you know, to be the starter at 40 years old in Cleveland, as he was at the end of 2023 when he came in and he resurrected that season and got him to the playoffs. But there, you know, we're talking about an opportunity if Shedeur is a good fit for that offense, and I think he is with Stefanski. There, it's not a bad spot for him. You know, in terms of having a chance to play, right system and chance. Now, maybe you'd say, it'd be better if he'd gone to a place where, you know, like Matt Stafford, where he could sit behind Matt Stafford for a year or two and learn with Sean McVay as the coach. Yeah, but they didn't want him. I think they were going to take Jackson Dart had the Giants not traded in front of him. Fred Smoot next hour with his thoughts. We had a nice conversation the other day about the draft. We went through all five Washington players, and you'll get a sense as to what Fred thought. Barry's Verluga coming up. When we come back, though, the Giants' first pick overall is creating some tension in the Big Apple. I'll explain when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. By the way, if you've never been to a rugby match, this is the one to check out. Old Glory DC. They're bringing serious intensity, talking big hits, fast breaks, nonstop action. Trust me, it's the real deal. These guys are flying all over the field. The hits are loud. The energy in the stands is awesome from start to finish. This Sunday, Old Glory is back home at the Maryland Soccerplex. They're taking on the Utah Warriors. Kickoff's 2 p.m., and it's Kids Day, so bring the whole family. There are inflatables, face painting, games, post-game autographs with the players. It's an incredible experience for the kids and their parents. The weather's supposed to be beautiful, sunny, and in the 60s, and you've got the perfect setup for an incredible Sunday outside. Now, whether you're a longtime rugby fan or you're new to the game and you're just looking for something different and exciting, I would give this a shot. The hits are real. The action never stops. The crowd makes it feel like a party from the moment you walk in. Yeah, rugby games have always been parties. I know. I went to several of them, and Maryland's rugby club team was great back in the day. I don't know if they're still good. Get your tickets for Sunday now at oldglorydc.com. That's oldglorydc.com. Great rugby, great weather, and a great time for the whole family. Old Glory DC. Let's scrum together.
All right, last night, the Nats losing on a wild pitch after taking the lead in the ninth. Bryson Stott came home to score. The Nats lose 7-6. They'll continue their series tonight. Pregame at 6:15 right here on the Team 980. The NFL has fined the Atlanta Falcons $250,000 and defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich $100,000 for failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the NFL draft. Jax Ulbrich initiated a prank call to Shedeur Sanders on day two of the NFL draft. Jeff Ulbrich fined $100,000. The Washington Capitals look to close out their series against the Montreal Canadiens. Alex Ovechkin was not on the ice yesterday. He was on the ice this morning for a morning skate. Logan Thompson was the first off the ice. He will get the start. Taylor Radish was skating with the scratches. Alexei Protas will draw in. Pre-game begins at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So, did you see this story from New York? Abdul Carter was the Giants' first pick in the draft, number 3 overall. Big-time pass rusher out of Penn State, wore number 11 at Penn State. Many people think he could become the next Micah Parsons. Abdul Carter wanted to wear number 56 playing with the Giants. He apparently wanted to get Lawrence Taylor to clear it with the team that he wanted to sort of honor Lawrence Taylor by wearing number 56 and being a Giant. And Lawrence Taylor politely said no. They ended up talking, and they had a conversation, according to ESPN, and Taylor told Abdul Carter he has to be the player that he is. He can't be another Lawrence Taylor. Well, he may be better than a Lawrence Taylor. Who knows? But he has to make his own mark. It's up to him. So the team backed Lawrence Taylor on this. Look, these are young players. They may not understand the history of the league. They may not understand the history of the team that they're going to. It'd be nice if they had people around him to say, don't do that. Because as Bill Belichick once said, we're talking about Lawrence Taylor now. We're talking about LT. Lawrence Taylor is the greatest football player, pound for pound, of, in my lifetime of watching football. I don't know if it's that close. I guess there are some quarterbacks and Jerry Rice, you know, in the conversation, but I've always felt this way. 56, LT, is, in my lifetime, going back to the 70s and beyond, is the greatest player I have ever watched. You know, I'm talking about, period, football player, not defense. Defense, offense, period. So this is LT we're talking about here. Look, it was not a very pleasant situation, and I bashed Dan Snyder and the team for putting Joe Theismann on the spot when Dwayne Haskins wanted to wear number 7. And, you know, that should have been immediately squashed by the team. No, that's Joe Theismann we're talking about. You know, he was the quarterback for the team that won the first Super Bowl for this franchise in the club's history. You know, you've got to make your own mark, and you got to prove it, you know, on the field. Rest, you know, God rest his soul in Dwayne Haskins. That was just a horrendous decision. And they put Joe into a position which was really difficult for him. And Joe actually, you know, came on this show and said, you know, it'd be nice if he found a number to try to make his own mark with that number. But that's not what, you know, our dumb owner wanted at the time. That was the kid that went to high school with his son. That was his pick. And if he wanted to wear number 7, he was going to wear number 7. Fortunately, the Giants were not going to, you know, override LT's answer. I don't really – it's one of those situations where it's like, God, Abdul Carter is going to be a really good player. No doubt about that. And he's young, you know, and he may not know. And maybe the people around him don't know, you know. I'm not necessarily blaming him or saying, oh my God, what is he doing? Because he may not just have known. He heard about how great Lawrence Taylor was. It's a long time ago now. And just said, you know, he's one of the greatest players. He is the greatest player in that franchise's history. LT is the greatest player of my, in most of your lifetime of watching football. Nobody changed the game like he did. Nobody did. He was an all-pro first team 9 times. He made all-pro first or second team every year of his career until his career started to wind down in the last 2 or 3 years of his career. He's the last player to have won the defensive MVP, and he's one of only 2 players in the history of the game to win MVP as a defensive player. Alan Page is the other one. Yeah, we're talking about LT here. The answer is absolutely no. I'm not a Giant fan. I can't speak for Giant fans, but I bet you this is one of those things where they're like, absolutely no, everybody's in agreement. I didn't want Haskins to wear number 7. I thought that was incredibly outrageous. And by the way, we love Joe T. And he's the quarterback in many ways of my youth. And he's a Lombardi Trophy winning quarterback, the first in franchise history. But Joe's not LT. Joe's not the player that LT was as a quarterback. He's a great player in the history of our organization, and his jersey deserved to be protected in that particular situation. But my God, Lawrence Taylor, stop. I mean, for us, it would be somebody coming in as a corner saying they want to wear number 28. No, you're not doing that. Now it's retired. LT's is retired as well. Abdul Carter might be a great player, and the response, you know, is he's not going to wear 56. I don't know what number he's going to choose to wear. But Taylor handled it in the right way. He said no, but he called for a get-together with Abdul Carter so he could explain, you know, why that number shouldn't be given to any other player, but with no ill intent, with no not being condescending. And he said, the guy's a great player. I just talked to him, and he seems like a good guy, and he should make his own mark with his own number. And I guess the Mara family, Joe Shane and company, have LT's back. Yeah, 56 for the Giants should never be worn by anybody that ever plays for them again. He's the best all time, and we know it in this city. All right, Barry's Verluga next with where the city council is on the vote on bringing Washington back to RFK. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also now streaming live on our YouTube 980 page. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button when you get there.